Hey, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast. And guess what? We have another Imaging USA episode for you this week. These are so fun. If you couldn't tell last week how excited I was for this interview, I hope that you can this week. I really am excited. The amount of connection that I was able to have over the past few days over at Imaging USA is something that I hope carries me longer than, you know, a few weeks, a few months, but that it is truly something that makes a lasting connection. And being able to connect with photographers, with past guests of the show, with new friends of the show as well, is truly something that I love to do, because I love seeing everything from all angles. I don't have to have a mastery understanding of how to do something, but I love to have that jack of all trades understanding of a little bit of everything. That really does make me so excited. So being able to hear all the different perspectives from commercial photographers, wedding photographers, portrait photographers, pet photographers, the whole gamut of the world of professional photography, landscape photographers, has been amazing to me. And I left Imaging USA this year feeling so fulfilled. And I hope that these interviews bring you just a fraction of the amount of excitement that I had connecting with these other photographers in person. So often, you know, we live these photography lives in isolation on our own. There are other people on the internet, but there's nothing like, you know, being together face to face with somebody and just being able to have a conversation. And that is what has been so great. So first up, we are going to hear from the one and only Vanessa Joy. If you heard me last week, that one of the great things about Imaging USA is that as you're walking around the expo floor, you never know who you're going to run into. And I had reached out to Vanessa to see if she'd be willing, or if she'd be able rather, to participate in this episode. And originally she said that she wasn't going to be able to because her commitments were just so full, which I was completely understanding of. And there I am, as I'm walking through the expo floor, I was walking on my way from another interview, and I was like, what else is going on around here? And I hear this, Raymond. And I turn around and there she is. It's Vanessa Joy. And she had a few minutes to chat before she had to leave and catch a plane. And I asked her, you know, if she'd be willing to do this real quick. And obviously being very understanding of her time, I wanted to get through it quickly. And she was like, yes, absolutely. So glad that we got to see each other in person. And I think a lot of that goes to just the kind of person that she is. She is so giving of her time and her knowledge. Like when it comes to the world of photography, I know a lot of new photographers feel like there is a lot of gatekeepers. Like there's a lot of information that's being held back from people who don't want to share it because they're scared that, you know, secrets are going to get out and they're not going to have any sort of advantage as far as business goes. And Vanessa Joy just laughs in the face of that idea. She truly is one of those people who is very generous of her time and her information. And I truly believe wants the entire industry to be better. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with Vanessa Joy.
I am Vanessa Joy. I'm a Canon Explorer of Light, which is my proudest moment. And I've been shooting weddings and portraits for 20 something years. A little bit.
Is that bananas to think about?
It's bananas.
In that time, 20 plus years, I'm sure that you find yourself in a creative rut every once in a while. How do you get out of it?
Oh, man, all the time.
All the time.
And it's in cycles, too. So, like, you get your creative rut, but then you get out of it. But then you're going to fall into it again. For me, I've done everything from learning some new photo trick, whether like off-camera flash, definitely something I learned. I concentrated once on my clients and decided to just purposefully become more emotionally invested in my wedding clients. And that helped me a lot. And to be honest, I'm in a creative rut right now, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get out of this one. I think I just have been working too much.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attempt to still provide for my family because this is my full-time gig.
It's important.
But make time for some of the things that I want to do creatively. And it might not be with a camera. It might be, I don't know, cutting mats to frame pictures maybe. So maybe not actually taking pictures, just another way where you can be creative and feel calm.
Yeah, yeah. I talked with another photographer who said that cooking is his thing.
Cooking.
Yeah,
that's
cooking.
Fun. I did a lot during COVID.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the sourdough and all that stuff?
Of course.
Yeah.
All the bread, all the herb gardens.
Still making sourdough?
I just buy it now. Yeah, I just buy it.
It's like we always plant a garden every year, and it's like so great to spend like weeks worth of time to save 50 cents on tomatoes, you know, when they come up.
Exactly.
You work a lot with people, and you're known for getting like wonderful emotions out of people as well. What tips do you have for just getting genuine emotions out of our subjects?
You know, treat photo sessions like conversations. A lot of times we tend to get into photographer mode and like, okay, you're my subject. I'm going to pose my subject. But if you treat it more like a conversation, you're going to look at their natural movements and be able to play off them or the things that they find funny and then expand upon that so that you're getting actual expressions and emotions from them. And then if all else fails, find a good light. Find a good pose and just add some movement.
Movement is always my favorite trick as well.
Yeah. Key.
What is it about the photographic process where, or what within the photographic process makes you feel most creative?
The end. The end process is big for me. So,
how so?
I think photographers are storytellers, but the storytelling does not end when you click the shutter button or edit and deliver photos. It ends when you put the whole story together in some kind of printed product that's going to last. So for me, I love designing albums with my clients. And to me, that's a very fulfilling final thing, collaborative, creative process to do with them.
You do that with them?
I do it with them. I pre-design. And then we get on a Zoom call and we go through page by page and make any changes that they want.
That is very cool. I don't hear a lot of people doing that.
Because it takes 2 or 3 hours to do. But
oh my gosh.
It's well worth it because they get their albums done much faster than they would have.
Yeah.
They spend way more money adding pages.
Uh-huh.
And
it's more personal to them, right?
Yeah.
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 I get it. Where do you think new photographers spend too much of their time obsessing over?
Ooh, other people's work.
Other people's work.
Going on Instagram, going on Pinterest or TikTok and seeing all the great before and afters. Don't spend too much time there. It's not healthy for anyone.
What should we do instead?
I would gain some inspiration. I think that's good. But then do your own thing.
Doesn't get any easier than that. Can you finish the sentence? It doesn't have to be related.
New photographers should start selling printed products immediately. Become a full-service photography studio or photographer right off the bat.
There is something to holding a photo that... It's not so cliche, but like you can't get on a computer and like really holding something is, it's wonderful.
Brings it to life.
Is there a marketing strategy that's been working particularly effective for you recently?
Yes. Relationship building. Everything I do and what I spend my marketing dollars on has to do with building a relationship. So whether it is going out for a drink or coffee with someone, a vendor or a... you know, maybe an older client of mine to maybe create a legacy client or sending out gifts like I recently did. I sent a bunch of people cameras and printed products. And, you know, to me, it's all about just building that relationship because the people that you have a relationship with, they're going to remember you. They're going to refer you. They're going to work with you. And you're going to like working with them because you've built a relationship.
Of course. That makes sense. That's great. This is kind of a follow-up question to that. Like, how deep do you have to go into these things? Because when I'm thinking, like, send... when you're at a place like this, imaging, right, people give you bags all the time that are full of, like, gifts and stuff like that. Are we doing that for all of our clients, or do we make it more personal?
Like, I do, but I make it personal. I can't just, like, send them, I don't know, a water bottle with my logo on it.
Right.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
I send them a water bottle with their initials on it. That'll work.
That's a much better tip.
Yes.
Only one last question for you here. What is your favorite part about attending a conference like Imaging USA?
Man, it's the people. I love attending conferences. It's just like where the industry comes to life. All the things, all the nerd talk you hear around every single corner. And then, of course, everything that you learn and take home with you.
It is great. It is fun. It is such a lonely career at times. So to be able to come here and have a bunch of people who know exactly what you're going through is wonderful. Vanessa, where can listeners find you online?
You can go to VanessaJoy.com. All my socials are there. And if you're photographers, you'll find an education tab where I have a bunch of free and paid education resources.
Perfect. Vanessa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Her YouTube channel has really been taken off over the past year and a half or so. She's got some great videos taking you behind the scenes where she goes on shoots, and she does a lot of great education as far as lighting, posing, and just all things wedding photography related as well. And gear, being a Canon explorer of light as well. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, be sure to check her out on YouTube. Now, another YouTube personality who you may have seen is Daniel Norton. Now, Daniel is a new friend of the podcast. I was introduced to Daniel through Seth Miranda, who many of you probably remember from when I interviewed him back. I met him at the last imaging that I went to, which was in January of 2020. And it was so crazy to think, like, literally thousands upon thousands of people together in one spot. And then, you know, 2 months later, the entire world shuts down. And just how crazy that seemed. I'll never get over that. But anyway, I had met Seth there at that at Imaging 2020, and he introduced me to Daniel Norton, who has a YouTube channel where he works in a studio. And in New York City, him and Seth share a studio space. And the amount of stuff that he's putting out on YouTube is super interesting. I encourage you to check it out. I'll talk about it kind of after his interview. So we'll just go ahead and let him talk for a minute. Here is my lightning round style interview with Daniel Norton.
All right. So I am Daniel Norton. I shoot portraits mostly. And I was doing it before you were born. Accurate.
How long have you been doing it, then?
He was born on the floor of the Polaroid factory.
That is true. I quit my job, my last real job, in 1996.
Having done this for so long, I'm sure that you run into situations where, or times where you're in a creative rut. How do you get out of those?
Well, that's a good question. Shoot.
And that's it?
That's it. Just keep shooting. Yeah.
How do we do that with intention, though, to get out of this creative rut?
So I find the best way to be creative all the time is to be with other creators. So there was a period where I didn't shoot for almost a year, and I would just go hang out with my friends when they shot. And then one day, I was just like, you mind if I grab my camera and shoot some of this? And then I got back and shooting again. So being around other creators is probably the way to keep you motivated.
Do you find that when you shoot, like, over the length of your career, you try to go deeper into a single subject, or do you find that you get really interested and explore tons of different subjects? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
I would say that I'm mostly interested in people. So that as a core is my subject, but I shoot fashion, shot fashion for many years. And now portraits. I used to shoot a lot of musicians. So yes and no. How's that?
That works.
Yes, one subject. People, no, not one thing.
I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. Working with people, doing that a lot, one thing that beginners struggle with a lot is like capturing true emotions. Right. Do you have a tip to capture better emotions?
Yes. So a portrait or anything with people is a conversation. And the trick is to not force it. And not try to get into the person and figure out what their vibe is, what they're looking for, what they want. Now, it's not what you want, it's what they want. So when you sit down with somebody, talk to them. If you spend 10 minutes talking to somebody and 2 minutes shooting versus 15 minutes shooting, you'll get a better picture.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So just getting them comfortable in front of the camera is going to be enough to
getting them comfortable with you.
I see.
The second you lift up the camera, people put their guard up. So the longer you can delay that, the better. When I have a new portrait subject show up in my studio, I often don't even have my camera out yet.
What is it about the process of photography where you feel most creative?
Oh, that's interesting. I probably feel most creative in the lighting aspects of it. I love to work with light in different ways, and I'll be thinking about it all the time. So I'll be on the subway, I'll be in a park, I'll be at my house, and I'll see light move across the wall or something, and then I want to create that. So I want to bring the emotion of the light to my portraits, and I'll just remember that when I'm trying to make a portrait that has that emotion, and I'll bring it back.
Do you have like a Rolodex in your head of like, oh, I remember I saw a light like this and it felt like this?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In my head. I don't ever make notes. I just go for it.
Oh, that's terrifying to me.
Yes, it's terrifying.
Again, working with people,
there is a weight to having emotion in an image. Mm-hmm. But being in an event like this, there's also, you know, a lot of focus on technical perfection. So for right. you, how do you kind of balance those two?
Well, I think the trick to it is to get the emotion after you've mastered the technical. That is to say, you should be mastering your technical shooting still lifes or landscapes or your friends or yourself, so that when somebody sits in front of your camera, you're not thinking about the technical.
That's great.
So you don't want to do it. You don't want a brand new person. So I'll give a little. I go left here. So at one point in my life, I wanted to learn makeup.
Really?
And what I did was I didn't look for people that needed their makeup done, right? Because I'm learning. Why would I do that, right? So I found people that wanted something from me. They wanted a portrait. So I was like, well, if you let me do your makeup and I'm learning, you know, then we can make this portrait, because I need to master that technical. The portrait was easy for me, right? So for me, the idea of just like get somebody in front of your camera that wants to sit there and learn. Like, I love getting people that are interested in photography. Like, if I have a model that I've worked with that loves photography, I bring them in when I want to practice something technical because they're interested in it. I can talk about it with them. We can discuss the lighting, why I'm doing it. And that helps having to do that. You get somebody that just wants their picture taken. They don't want to sit there while you're figuring it out.
Of course. That is a great tip right there. What do you think new photographers spend too much time obsessing over?
Cameras. And then lenses. Yeah.
Just gear in general.
Gear. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, specifically cameras and lenses. I think that you'd be better served spending your money on lighting and, well, I would say rolls of film if you were back in the day, than you would on more cameras and lenses. Take what you got. Work with it. You're not going to find a silver bullet, right? You gear is a big part of it. You need to have gear to do stuff, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we over obsess about it. Can this camera do this? Can it do this? When the reality is it's you and what you envision and the light. That's all there really is.
So getting over that is just shooting.
Yeah. Well, first you buy a lot of cameras and realize that it's not the... I say this with like 50 cameras at my house, right? Because of course we can't help it, but because those are the shiny, those are the cool, right? The cameras are what are exciting for us, but really they're the least interesting thing in the end when you're going to make the picture.
Yeah,
when it don't tell the camera companies that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go ahead and cut that out of here. What is a photography skill, or what's a skill within photography that you yourself are trying to improve upon right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I'm always trying to improve in general, but I think lately I've been working more on my, which is video, it's not photography, but the idea of motion and using motion in my work. So video is really the answer, even though it's not really a good answer. Photography in general, I mean, it's going to sound, it's just going to give me hell for saying that. I feel like I can do what I need to do. Like,
yeah.
I went through a long period of time learning. One thing I did, because I didn't know anything, which is smart. It's good to go into this being dumb like I was. No. Like, I went to art school, and I learned about shape and form and light and this and that, and I didn't learn anything commercial. And because of that, when I started working, I worked for every photographer I could. I worked for food photographers. I worked for still life photographers. I wanted to be a fashion photographer. I worked for fashion photographers, portrait. And because of that, I learned so much. So I have this, like, a depth of knowledge of that. But really, you learn every time you get on set with somebody. Mm. You learn what that person is, who they are, you know, what they want. And you learn what you want through them, right? They're like a mirror of you. So that part, you're always trying to be better at that, you know, getting the people to get what they want. One of my main focuses, and I probably the last 15 years or so, is I hate, all right, I'm going to lecture now. Get ready. I hear people say all the time, okay, this is big, because I'll be doing a demo. And they'll be like, how do you make somebody look like this? Mm. And what I want is for you as the learning photographer to not do that. So what I'm trying to improve is that people don't do that. Don't try to make people look a certain way. Make them happy with the way they look. And that's the skill that I want people to have. And what I'm working on is teaching people that, I guess. So maybe that's a roundabout way of saying that.
So when you say photographers want to get somebody to look like something, it's more of like an emotion. Like, how do you make them look happy, or how do you make them?
No. Very specifically, how do you make them look thinner? How do you make them look like they don't have a bad skin? How do you make them look like their nose is smaller?
I see.
How do you make them look like any number of things like that? All these physical attributes that people are getting so used to being manipulated by, you know, because we can do it, right? We can do it in post. And people will show you images that they got from Instagram, whatever. And when I'm teaching somebody photography, they show me images and I'll be like, that was done in post. Like, do you really want that person to look like that? I mean, do you, you know? And I think that there's an attitude about, you can get people to look. If you have a scar, or you have imperfections, that's what you earn that, right? So get people to be proud of that. Get people to love the way they look, and then you will be a better portrait photographer.
So go to school for psychology and then learn the camera. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I think that's probably more important than anything. You know, if you're going to be a people photographer, the people comes first. The photography should just be something you can do. You master the techniques, so you don't have to hold people up. But it's really about that interaction with the person that's going to get you those emotions. If you can make somebody, appear or emote in a way that's good, happy, sad, whatever, that's great.
Yeah.
But when you look at me, when you say to me, "Oh, how do you make somebody's face look less fat?" And I've literally had that asked to me in a live demo.
Wow.
And what I want to do is just go, "Wow, really? Like, that's, do you say that to your clients?"
Right.
You know, bravo there, buddy. Yeah. You know, so that's, you know, that, I guess that's it. So for me, that's my, even though it's not my photography that I'm changing this in, I'd like to kind of help people get past that. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you what's a myth in photography that you'd like to debunk, but it sounds like that's about it.
Well, yeah, that's it.
That's the one. What's your favorite part about attending conferences like Imaging USA here?
Oh, I love just meeting all the different people. One, I was just actually just talking to a gentleman. You know, you talk to people, because I do a lot of YouTube videos and presentations, and you know, you get comments or whatever, but it's nice to see people in person.
Yeah.
And I love when somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, I watched one of your videos and I did this thing and now I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Now I am a photographer doing these techniques. Let me show you my work." I love that. Now everybody's going to come run after me. But no, I love that. I love the idea that like I'm helping people, because when I first started, I was very lucky. I hooked up with some early photographers that were mentors. You know, they were like, "I'm going to show you how to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you how to be a photographer." And I think there's this idea with some photographers that we want to keep our secrets. You know, there's no secrets. It's like, there's no secrets. That's the secret, right?
Of course.
So helping people and then seeing the results of it is what I love. Like, I don't come here for the gear. I know we've said that. And I don't want to come up like I don't like gear. I do like gear.
I know.
But I don't necessarily come here for that, because I live in New York and I can go to a store in, you know, Adorama or whatever and look at anything I want all the time, right?
Of course.
So I know some people come to these to see all the cool new cameras. That's not why I come. I come to meet the people.
I love it. Well, Daniel, that's about it. Where can listeners find you online?
So probably my YouTube channel is the best place, Daniel Norton Photographer.
Perfect. Well, Daniel, thank you again so much, man.
Thanks.
There he was, Daniel Norton. So many like interesting concepts this guy talks about. So like his YouTube channel, I love because of how diverse it is. Let me just go to his YouTube channel real quick. So his last like four videos, right? How do you light this? Soft and crisp portrait lights. Close up and personal. How did I light this photo? Image reviews. How to, you know, work more and do less. The benefits of skipping work to boost productivity. How to get your first paying client. How to light high key. How to light hard light portraits. How to do soft light portraits. Introduction to AI retouching. Like such a diverse range of subjects. It's not just how do you do the same thing over and over and over again. It really is a lot, and there's so much to learn. And all of his videos are like they're like 5 minutes. You know, they're not very long, which is great. He doesn't subscribe to the whole, you know, have a video at least 10 minutes for every single concept so that, you know, you can put in more ads in your video. They're quick. They're to the point. He gets it done. I love him. So check him out. Daniel Norton on YouTube. Daniel Norton Photographer. You'll find him. Great stuff. Now, next up, we are hearing from Mary Fisk Taylor. Now, Mary's been on the podcast twice. She is a portrait photographer. She is half of the photography business Hayes and Fisk, and they specialize in, you know, really like high-end family portraits, heirloom brush oil portraiture, and wedding photography as well since 1996. Mary has an amazing mind for business, and she's also been the president of the PPA. So she's very intimately aware of the role that the PPA has in the world of professional photography. Like, she's there. She knows the people. She's seen what happens. She knows how to run a successful photography business. She knows what it takes. She knows the people who have done it. And she's also one of just the kindest people who I've ever met. I mean, caring, generous, and just a joy. Like, those are three words that I would use to describe Mary Fisk Taylor. And when I walked up, as you'll hear, as I walked up to her booth, she literally had tears coming out of her eyes and she was crying. I was taken aback. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I think I showed up at the wrong time here. I'm not sure what's going on." And to find out that she had just spoke with somebody who told her that that Mary had changed her life from what she had learned from Mary. So that once again just kind of talks to the power of being at a convention like this. You know, you're not going to get that same emotion out of just an email. So anyway, here is my quick conversation with Mary Fisk Taylor. There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients, or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear, like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
My name is Mary Fisk Taylor, and I am a photographer in Richmond, Virginia. For almost 30 years, my business partner, Jamie Hayes, and I have run or operated a portrait studio, weddings as well, a little bit of commercial, but we have really transitioned over the past couple years into predominantly brush oil portraits, which is kind of wall installations or art installations. So that we've done. But yeah, full-time photography and have a little bit of us did a little time on the PPA board of directors. So a big PPA fan. If you're not familiar, check it out. And yeah, that's who I am.
So modest. Just a little time on the. Well, can you tell me, I know that you've done a lot of things over your career, but how do you find inspiration when you feel like you're lacking?
Oh, that's a great question. So I hope I don't get emotional. Today's been an emotional day for me, Raymond. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize ahead of time, guys. It's a lot of things. I mean, I think number one, it's 100% my family. You know, as our little kiddos grow and they, you know, get, you know, bigger and bigger and their opinions get bigger and bigger. The good thing about that is they have such great insight and they give me such great advice and they inspire me every day. You know, my husband and I quite often will sit down on the couch and like just high five each other. We're like, yay, they're not jerks. Like, this is exciting. My friends and fellow photographers, you know, specifically here at Imaging USA, where we are today, being a part of Professional Photographers of America. And then beyond that, it's music for me. So it's going to be my family, obviously being a photographer, but then music. I'm a huge, I'm a big Dave Matthews Band fan. I get so inspired by their music and different, and all the music, really and truly. That's probably my other piece is listening to really good music and just chilling and taking it all in.
Are you a big vinyl fan?
I am a big vinyl fan. We play vinyl in our home. That's kind of where our go-to. Yeah, I still read books and play records. I'm that old, and it's like, it feels very normal for me.
I do the same thing.
Yes. Like,
you don't
analog.
Feel old though, right?
Like, no, yeah. Not at all.
Analog is,
it's cool now, so that's good. That's
it's coming
a good
back,
thing. That's
like
right.
All the things.
That's right.
Doing portrait photography, obviously a big part of that is capturing emotions as well.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for capturing emotions in a photograph?
Yeah. You know, I think that obviously there's way better qualified people out there than me, but because my why is to do that, right? My why every day I go into my business, which I'm grateful to have, and every time someone decides to be in front of my camera, my why is to do that, capture that. And because I try and I get up every day and I don't always succeed, but every day my goal is to lean into that why and catch that authenticity. And because it's coming from a very authentic place in my heart, in my brain, in my eye, I think it does, you know, transcend. Plus, like people attract like people. So you know what? If you're not my client, you're probably not going to come to me anyway. You know what I'm saying? So the people that are in front of my camera, whether it's the kids, I can lean into, oh, I remember when my daughter was 18 months old or 3 years old or, you know, or a bride or a parent or family, you know, at this point generation. I just did a generation portrait session a couple weeks ago and having those four strong women in front of my camera. I mean, I'm crying, they're crying. So I think it's the emotion just comes naturally, you know? So that's, yeah. And then if nothing else, just make sure that you're calm. and you're not going, you know, just if they feels like they're a little bit, they feel uncomfortable or they're not feeling great in front of the camera, relate to them. Make eye contact, guys. Use a tripod. Make eye contact is one of my biggest, you know, put the camera down, make eye contact, truly engage. And I think they feel that warmth or they feel that trust that I want them to look amazing and I want this to be the best experience and I want them to love what I create.
I love that. That's great. That's like you said, it's so genuine, you know.
I hope so. That's the goal.
What is it about the photography process that makes you feel the most creative?
Oh, okay. For me, the most creative part, this isn't the fun part, guys. It's twofold for me. Of course, I love to get in the camera room or be on location and create something that my client comes in and looks at and I can feel their breath just go, and I feel that. And I feel that to my heart because we, as a mom, as you know, as a human being, I felt that way, right? But as a business person, and I am a business person first, and this isn't the fun, sexy part. If I do create a marketing idea or I come up with something that hits and it really, people respond, they get the story, they get the message, they engage with my brand and they're excited to do so, that, I'm going to tell you what, that feels really good. That feels really, really good. So, yeah.
So do you think at this point, it's like you've got the photography part down. Now it's spending the time on the other things to get people in front of the camera?
I mean, you know, the good thing is it's always changing, right? So certainly in the from the business aspect, almost three, you know, decades in, major changes in the way we market, right? You used to put up a mall display and put a card out and people would come, right? Yeah. Not so much anymore. So, yeah. But the photography part, I mean, at this point, leaning into or probably being a little more excited about, I'm always coming to the camera room, with the idea of create what we've discussed. I do design consults before almost all my sessions. So create for them, then create something for myself. And one of my biggest things that I'm excited about as I stand here, PPA has a degree system. Almost every single bar and every degree, it's been on client work. Because I always try to take 7 minutes to create something for me, whether I was inspired by a new ad in a magazine or a billboard in New York City or a commercial on a Delta plane, whatever it is, I want to try to create that. And the next time you get in front of my camera, I'm like, oh, this reminds me of that really cool book cover I saw. How can I put my thumbprint on it and make it my own? So I'm always learning in that respect as well. And sometimes I'm like, that was a terrible idea. But when it hits, it's a pretty awesome feeling. You know?
Stay curious.
Yeah. Stay curious. I love that. Yeah.
What's more important to you, the technical aspect or the emotional aspect
emotion.
Of an image? Tell
Not
me why.
Even. Emotion. I think because my clients in particular, probably many, I would say most clients, but particularly my clients, because what I'm doing, I'm not just photographing just headshots or school. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing wrong with that. It's just they're coming to me because they have a why. They have a reason. And the emotion is going to sell before the technical. No one has ever said, wow, that 3-to-1 ratio is rocking. You know what I mean? Like, but they're going to come in and they're going to say, wow, I feel beautiful. Or, oh my gosh, you know. So it's always the emotion for me.
Of course.
You know, and let's be honest, these days you can work around the technical here and there if you have to.
Of course, of course.
If you have a mishap, which never happens to me, wink, wink, you can absolutely work around the technical part.
Yeah, I too have never had a mishap ever.
That you've seen.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think new photographers spend too much time obsessing over?
That they can't.
How so? What do you mean?
That not believing in themselves. Risking forward, as our keynote this morning speaker said, just the not believing, that and comparing yourself to others, just not believing yourself, the mindset, being in that fixed mindset that I can't, not in my town, I can't do that, I'm not good enough yet, I'm whatever. We always can come up with reasons why we can't. It's really hard to find those golden nuggets that we can.
It is.
And I think we spend way too much time in our brain ourselves, and that's what I think we spend way too much time on. So I think we all do it, by the way, but new photographers, I see that quite a bit. And I hope that I hope that there are people out here, they listen to your podcast, they come in around and they go around and meet other people that we can convince. If I could just convince one person today that they can, I'm going to feel really good. I'm going to be in a really happy space.
So then finish this sentence for me.
New photographers should discover their why. And that's a huge journey, I think. Why are you doing this? Because I don't know. I think yes, you could do it because you love photography, or there's all these reasons, but why? And I think when you really sit down and you are quiet and you take a minute and you figure that, get that answer, it will make you soar. Mm. I really believe it will propel you into places you didn't know. And all the other stuff has to happen. I'm not naive enough to not, you know that.
Of course.
But if you don't know your why, you know, don't do it because you want to, you know, play around in Photoshop, or you want to win an award, or you want to... What is your why? And when you figure that, and whatever it is, maybe it's just like, I want to have a sustainable business and create really great headshots, and I only want to do whatever it is, volume, wedding, portraits, just figure out that why, and then go from there. Because it's like building a house without a foundation, and I believe the why is the foundation.
The why is the foundation. So you got to figure out that foundation to build that house on.
I think so.
Yeah. What's a photography skill that you're currently working on right now? After 30 years in photography, is there anything that you're working on?
Well, yeah. So I am, just a couple years ago, I started learning how to digitally paint. That's something I would have laughed in your face if you told me I was going to do something that quote unquote creative. But learning to digitally paint and getting better at that, because I definitely could be better. I could be a lot better. Digital painting. And then as far as photography, I don't know. I would like to learn more about doing better commercial work, which is kind of way outside of my comfort zone. And it's because I want to learn it. Like working with more, this is so silly, I can't believe I'm saying, but working with how to work better when I'm photographing jewelry or glass or metal. And it's because I got a huge job and I had to go in and photograph a bunch of machine tools in a factory. And I realized how silly and stupid I was about it. So I've been reading my friend Joe Glida's books and talking to my commercial, Tony Corbell, all my commercial photography friends, and trying to learn a little more about that, because I definitely could do better in that respect. So
it's not just if you know how to use a camera, you can shoot everything, right?
Nope.
It's not like
definitely
that at
not.
All. Yeah.
Definitely not.
What's a common photography myth that you think should just be debunked?
That you have to do it all. And I understand people want to be a purist, and as an artist, I respect that 100%. But I think that you don't have to do it all. We're small. We're solopreneurs. We're gig businesses. We're tiny. Most of us, many of us, we are. I can't. And outsourcing things. So, meaning, it's okay if I don't do all the retouching, or I don't do printing, or outsource those things and do what you know you do best, what you're passionate about. And the stuff that if you can pay somebody practically minimum wage to do it, don't do it yourself. You know, get out there and network, get out there, or, you know, better yet, go read your kid a bedtime story, or, you know, spend time with your partner, or, you know, take a walk or read a book. Or take care of something else in your business, because somebody can take care of that for you. Don't do it yourself. So I'm a big outsourcer, and I wish people would do more of that.
You just spoke right to me. That is something that I struggle with so much.
Really?
Especially with a podcast. As you know, there's just like so much to do.
Oh, I know.
It's hard.
It is hard.
So thank you for that.
It's not easy.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
What's a marketing strategy that has worked particularly well for you recently?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that answer would have been very different maybe even a year ago. This year, we leaned in more than ever into client referrals. And what I mean by that is, of course, when we first opened, we would do it and that, but we actively not only asked our clients to come in and quote unquote model or do an artist project for us to update website or images, which is a great, you know, doing those type of calls is a great way to get business. But then we would say, you get that person and they're your ideal client. They're your avatar. They know more like themselves, right? And do you know anybody else who would be interested in taking advantage of this? And I tell you what, it made high six-figure difference for us this
year.
High, because I asked for them to tell their friends about me, and they would email or text connect us, and then I was blown away. And I had stopped doing that. We started our business with that, and I had stopped doing it. And I tell you what, the difference it made this year. And it's free. Guess what?
Yeah.
That's a marketing tip for free, y'all.
Yeah.
It's just asking. Just having the wherewithal, remembering, and the trust in yourself just to ask the question. People want to help you. And I'll lead with my Phil M. Jones. He's an author that I love his books. Exactly What to Say, Exactly How to Sell. But one of the things he says, the strongest thing you can say as a business owner is, would you do me a favor? And if you've got that person in your studio and they love what you do and they're buying what you created, they want to help you.
Yeah.
Who better to help me than people that have already come in and spent with me and invested
right,
in
right.
me. So,
well,
yeah.
Digital tools are so sexy. You know?
I know. Why would we do that?
Exactly.
Well, I ran a Facebook ad. You know, get off Facebook and just ask somebody to help you. That's a great tip.
I got one last question for you.
Let's do it.
What is the best part about attending a conference like Imaging USA?
This, seeing people. I mean, you walked up here today and I was in tears and you're like, oh boy, this seems like a bad timing. But they were happy, happy tears. The keynote this morning was so emotional and she gave me exactly what I needed this morning to start this conference. But having people come up and just give me a hug and say, I saw you speak 10 years ago and you changed my life, or I listened to you and I did that, or I believed in myself and I raised my prices. And I had somebody tell me last night, I finally took a vacation. And because of something that I shared. So, yeah. There I go again. It's very emotional. It's just so cool to see and we all work by ourselves. So these are my work friends.
Exactly. I know.
It's like 10,000 work friends right here.
But you never see at work.
Get to see it when we come to these events. So that's for great. Me. The vendors and the people.
Well, Mary, lastly, where can we find you online?
Oh, so maryfisktaylor.com, obviously. And I have a podcast as well with current PPA president, Kira Derryberry, called Get Your Shoot Together. So you're welcome to check that out, or just, look me up. I'm Mary Fisk Taylor. Send me a message, and I'll get back to you, I promise.
Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if all the things that she does isn't enough, as you heard there, she is also the co-host of the Get Your Shoot Together podcast, which is another amazing photography podcast, more focused on the business side of photography. So, if you resonated with what it was that Mary said there from what you heard from her, and you're looking for, help in the world of business, give it a listen. Give the podcast a listen. It is a good one. You're going to like it. And, again, she's just such a kind and just joyful person to be around. So that was it today. That was part two of the three-part imaging lightning round photography interviews. There needs to be a better name for that. But I hope that you enjoyed it. I sure did. That's it for this week. Next week, I will be back with the one and only Seth Miranda and two new friends of the podcast who share some really great tips. So come back next week. But until then, remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.